Welcome to Free Fire Radio. The phone lines are open at 221-1402. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence on News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio on News Talk 1400 KQMS. It's Colin DeBott. Thursday morning, it's the 9th of July, and we're still enjoying great weather. And speaking of great, here's our producer, Frosty.
Good morning.
You looking good today, Frost?
Well, thank you.
Feeling good?
Yeah, I went to the tank meeting yesterday.
Yeah.
And I think tank's pretty much dead.
Well, you know, here's the thing. With something like tank, it's like a mini-headed beast. You get it down, and you keep beating it. You keep beating it until, for sure, it's dead. And then you cut its heads off. Then you cook it. Then you eat it.
The Indians were talking about that.
Well, they should do that. But speaking of something that's never finished, it's my love affair with Linda.
Oh, that's nice. Good morning. Okay, right now in my hands, I've got two tickets. 221-1402. First caller is going to get two tickets for tomorrow night's Fried Green Tomatoes dinner and a date. Donnie Greenberg is going to be cooking something that has to do with fried green tomatoes or whatever, and a drink of sangria. So give us a call, 221-1402. Also, Dancing with the Stars, Saturday night. Local stars take to the dance floor with some of our area tops dance performers in a fundraiser that's sure to entertain. Okay, don't have tickets for that, but if you're looking for something Saturday night, a blast. It's an evening of competition to benefit youth programs of the Shasta family, YMCA, and Shasta Women's Refuge. Quickly, let's go to line one. No.
I think there's people are calling in to for the tickets. I mean, this is loaded up all the lines there.
Oh.
I see no names.
Oh. Well, I thought that Jim was going to be calling and talk to us about the Red Cross for a moment.
As soon as that comes up, we will run to that.
Well, we're figuring it out anyway, so get your tickets. And I'm going to make sure Carrie knows in the front there that I've got two tickets. So why don't you carry it from here with Carl?
Okay. I think that's why, you know, we're doing it. Anyway, okay, our guest today is going to be Sheriff Tom Bosenko. We're going to be getting to the sheriff as soon as we get back from our break here. A lot of things going on in the news, a lot of things happening. It's like Frosty was talking about with the tank, stop tank meeting. It's good to see our, you know, people coming up and coming together to fight something that's not fair. You know, maybe we do need those lines, but I tell you what, they have not shown us, you know, the reasons to have it or why.
Tickets are gone.
Okay. Tickets are gone. We've got to take a quick break here. It's Colin DeBott, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Welcome back. It's Carl and Linda Bott here, Free Fire Radio. Good morning. News Talk 1400 KQMS. This portion of the show is brought to you by Cascade Paints. I'm telling you, we're telling you, we're having our house painted right now. These guys have got their finger on the trigger. They are fascinating to watch how they can match paints and make it work for you. They also carry a line of called Mystic Paint, which is a non-toxic paint used in hospitals. They're on California and Eureka, Cascade Paints.
Okay, our guest today, and he's been on the show several times before, this shows this man's courage. He just keeps coming back in here. Anyway, Sheriff Tom Bosenko. Good morning, Sheriff.
Good morning, Carl and Linda. How are you?
Well, we're doing great.
Great.
So let's just, you know, let's start talking about what's going on in the Sheriff's Department.
Well, not a whole lot.
Well, let's start with your surplus of funds in the budget.
Sure. Okay. My $3 million cut to our budget.
Uh-huh.
That was just devastating. We ended up losing about 47 positions. We had 25 layoffs, and 11 of them were deputy sheriffs, men and women that were on the streets protecting our citizens, doing patrols throughout the organization. And probably maybe even more importantly, due to those budget cuts, we simply can't spend money we don't have, not like Sacramento or the federal government. We had to vacate a floor of the jail. That was part of the layoffs. That released about 150 inmates, and then our work release program. And those inmates and that program and the staff that work down there do some great programs, taking care of the veteran cemetery, serving seniors, many nonprofits throughout the county. We had to close that. That served about 800 inmates for offender accountability.
Well, now, when all this was going on, and you read different allegations going back and forth that you had not planned for this. And, I was never able to hear that you even had a chance to respond to that.
Well, I did respond to it. Over the last 2 years, year before last, we had a $1.6 million carryover. Basically, we didn't spend our budget to its maximum. And then this year, we had over $900,000, nearly $1 million of fund balance carryover also. When I first took office in my elected term, we had about 40 positions that were vacant. Overtime was rampant, and we had to get those people hired up, get some men and women, deputy sheriffs on the street, get some jail positions filled so we could do our job properly and efficiently. And that's what we're going to. We saw that this budget was turning, and so in about November, November of 2008, we slowed on hiring. And then by December, January of 2008, we already had like 27 vacancies because we couldn't fill those up, and we just basically maintained it. But you still have to do a job out there, and men and women still have to work in the jail due to fixed post, and so you still have to hire, but we did what I call full disclosure or eyes wide open. We told people, hey, there could be a chance you get laid off, but we still have to be able to staff the positions that we need to do our job.
What are the, when you say we've had to cut loose 27 deputies?
We laid off 25 employees.
Okay.
11 of them were deputy sheriffs.
Okay, what kind of impact does that have on our community?
Huge. Right now, Bernie, California, I call it the Intermountain area, all the way from MacArthur down to Oak Run Road at 299. They used to have 20 hours of patrol, but now we're going to have to cut back to about 16. And they've had two vacant positions up there for years and years because of the lack of funding. Shingletown and the Lakehead areas, we might have to pull our resident deputies down to do staffing down here on patrol. And then our patrol force down here took some hits as well. So you'll see less officers visible. We still have it staffed for our shifts, but it's a huge impact. The only one that really is not impacted is the city of Shasta Lake because they're a contract city. They're incorporated and they contract our law enforcement services. They prioritized. They did not have any hits there.
So
that's interesting.
So they contracted and they put it in their budget. They were going to have X amount of hours for the deputies.
Not hours, but X amount of staffing.
So it's
basically a $2.5 million contract with the city of Shasta Lake.
I know that there's talk on the street. We hear it all the time. What happened to the bottom floor of the jail?
The top floor?
Well, you had to go use the bottom floor.
Basically, there's 10 stories there, but there's 3 inmate housing units.
Okay.
We vacated one of those. We had to go through a procedure of looking at the offenders and their backgrounds of who would stay and who would go. And so right now there's 1 inmate housing level that is vacant.
And when you decide who you're going to cut loose, what's your criteria for that?
They have in place of sentenced misdemeanors, unsentenced misdemeanors, sentenced felons, and unsentenced felons. And then they also look at their criminal background, propensity for violence, and try and make a decision of what will happen. A lot of them got released on their own recognizance for their showing up for their next court date. And then if a person is arrested, say like today, due to the limited capacity of the jail now, they could end up just being released in an hour or so, depending on their charges.
Wow. But,
yeah, I imagine the more serious charges that you will still see the inside there.
Yeah, well, there's like about 20 people that are in for homicide or related to homicides. And so, obviously, you cannot release those. But maybe that pose a big threat is some of those people that are in for multiple time DUI. Those people have chronic alcohol problems, are very likely to go out and drink and drive. And then they could run into you, run into friends of yours, your family, and injure them. And that causes me great concern.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the other talk on the street is what's happening in the drug scene. But right now, we've got to take a break. 221-1402. Ask the sheriff anything that's on your mind. This is Carla Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Our sheriff, or our guest today is Sheriff Tom Basinko. Sheriff, the marijuana eradication process, which we see, seems like it's almost weekly in the paper. We see pot gardens being busted.
It's probably close to almost daily in the paper.
Oh, is that right? Has it been that much? Well, I don't read the paper every day. So
another bumper crop year of the Mexican drug cartel coming up, infiltrating our county, destroying our lands, planting the dope. And right now we're at about 360,000 marijuana plants on eradication, and it hasn't even gotten into the peak of the season yet.
Well, now, can you explain the difference between going after the drug cartels, marijuana, and, you know, somebody growing 6 or 7 or 10 plants in their backyard? Is there any?
Yes and no. The 6 and 7 plants, maybe that is legal under Proposition 215, the medicinal marijuana component. But again, maybe it's not. It could just be somebody growing some dope and selling it on a small-time basis. The Mexican drug cartel, they come up on a huge, very complex, business-oriented type of organization. They have people that do recon for planting areas, planters, gardeners, suppliers that come in and supply the food, harvest crews, and then processing crews at another place. So it is a very complex business. And then they take those profits and then usually work on production of methamphetamine in Mexico and ship it back to the U.S. that also goes back into the noses and veins of people within and lungs of our citizens and youth.
Well, now, there's a the Attorney General of the United States said that they would not pursue going after offenders if the state has said it's okay. In this case, he was talking about marijuana. Has that had any impact on what's going on in California up here in the North State?
It has had some impact because that's from a federal level. Basically, they said that DEA will not go after medicinal marijuana dispensaries or co-ops if they're in compliance with state law. And there are a number of states in the nation that have medical marijuana laws that allow it, including California.
Well, and it looks like we're, I know there's one in town, but it looks like they want to open up another 2 or 3.
Yeah, most of them are here in the city of Redding. And then I think there was, I read in the paper, there was someone trying to get established in the city of Anderson.
I wonder who writes these prescriptions.
Well, I just want to know if, as well as, you know, when somebody opens a business like that, are you guys, do you feel like you just kind of let them be and go really into the bigger stuff?
Well, they have to be in compliance with the law. Some of these places are in for it just for selling the stuff, and that's illegal. They have to be in compliance with the law, and that's a very important component. Fortunately, there aren't any ones that are authorized within the unincorporated areas of the county. Most of them, like I said, are in the city of Redding, and then one trying to be established in the city of Anderson.
Okay, so it's not usual for the midnight raid?
No, not
okay.
usual.
Okay, the other thing is that the governor of our state, yes, you know, I really like this because I've said 2 or 3 things, and every time I get a reaction. I wish y'all could see the reaction I get when I'm starting to say this. But Sheriff, you know, the governor, you know, the one who has led us so ably over the last few years and right down the tubes here, has said we ought to look at legalizing marijuana and taxing it. That's a pretty big statement from the governor of a state.
Correct. And he has said that. He took some public heat for that a little bit, but he said at least let's discuss it and explore it. You know, and that's we have the laws on the books. If it gets legislated that way, part of it is my job is to enforce the law. Of course, they all have to be legal and constitutional, but that's a whole other debate for the whole marijuana scene, if you will.
Yeah, it's been a I just, you know, it's getting to be such a morass. I mean, it, you know, yeah, you know, you go into, you know, it's one thing you go up into a plantation and, I mean, and now we're getting into gunfights up there. And when's the last time there was a gunfight and somebody was killed and sheriff's deputies were wounded? When, I mean, before this one, last month?
Last year there was a couple. There was, one in Nevada County. I think there was one in Santa Clara County, one in, some other county in California. Just recently this year, Santa Barbara County Sheriff's Office pulled out a professional-grade sniper weapon out of a Mexican drug cartel marijuana grow, and we're talking like a scope worth $3,000-$4,000, and then special rounds all hand-loaded for different distances. So that person that had possession of that knew what he or she were doing, and for law enforcement coming in, a well-trained sniper could pick off an entire crew of law enforcement officers and probably never be detected.
Yeah.
Wow.
When you start seeing things like that, it's, you know, in certain types of rounds that go out there that kind of slice through.
Every garden we go into, we find evidence of firearms in there. Most of the time the growers are armed with sidearms, and then they have long guns, rifles, and shotguns also available to them. If they're not carrying them, they're available to them.
Well, it's a big business.
It's a huge business.
Just so they got a lot of money on the line there.
Those 360,000 marijuana plants that we've eradicated so far, street value on the illicit market, roughly $1.34 billion.
Billion.
Billion with a B.
Okay, with that in mind, we've got to take a break here. We got news, and the sheriff's going to join us on the other side. We have people on the lines that want to discuss any number of things. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. This portion of the show brought to you by Everything Medical. You know, it's this shop has the largest showroom. It's got a warehouse. It's a full-service medical supply store at 2109 Hilltop Drive. They've already been they're Medicare accredited and have been awarded the Exemplary Provider Award. They're locally owned. Joe does just a great job. He cares about his customers. They offer free home safety assessments. They have everything from lifts from cars and vans and also offer free delivery for products bought there. That's Everything Medical. It's at 2109 Hilltop Drive. Let's go to the phones. Henry, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. How are you this morning?
You know, Henry, we're doing great.
Good. Say, I just had a thought. Our sheriff said that the drug cartel is super organized. They organize everything before they go in. Is there any chance we could send them to Sacramento? I'll take my answer on the air.
Thanks, Henry. Wow, that's philosophical and deep. And you know, Henry, the problem is that if we let if people that were organized and logical went down to Sacramento, I mean, the people, you know, you go in there, you walk into some of the Senate committees and you listen to the stuff. If you're organized and logical, you'd be a crazy person at the end of the day. So you've got to have a little something going.
I was on Facebook this morning and Doug LaMalfa had a post on there that two juvenile red-tailed hawks were outside his house and they were squawking because they weren't getting fed. And he said, it doesn't matter if he's at home or in Sacramento, he just hears nothing but squawking.
Well, I can't even get into that because, you know, once I start, it just goes on and on because of the budget and everything else they've done or haven't done. And, you know, at some point, you know, I think people literally are just kind of like getting numb to this, that we're running out of money, or, you know, that they can't think of ways of doing it except to throw more taxes at us, you know, and you know, we're going to talk about this, the health care debate that's going on. But I mean, they're already saying, oh, we're going to raise taxes. And there's articles in from used to be like really Obama loving papers that said he's broken his promises already about no new taxes several times.
We are already one of, if not the highest taxed state in the nation.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so we're going to take more. They want to tax more on cigarettes and on gas and then add more onto your vehicle title. I mean, come on. I mean, it's like cut other things first, you know, and nobody has ever addressed, and this is something that comes into you, the illegal problem. How many of the people that you run into that your men and women confront are here legally or illegally?
Illegally, very few actually.
You
end up with, in the gardens, most of them are illegals. But you get down into the San Joaquin Delta area, down into Southern California, San Diego,
right.
A lot of them there, obviously. When we end up contacting and arresting a person, an illegal alien,
right.
We're calling ICE immediately, and they're coming up here to get them.
Now, it's still legal to find out if they're here legally, right? Didn't I see some place in some of these sanctuary cities you can't even ask? Is that in San Francisco or something?
Yeah, whatever.
Okay.
That's Louise, not us.
Louise.
Yes, hi.
Good morning.
I have a question for Sheriff Pacinco.
Hi, how are you, Louise?
I'm good. Listen, I've been seeing flyers all around town about Sheriff Matt coming to town, and he speaks about all these things like how to control illegal drugs in our county and also about how to keep the money in Shasta County so that we can keep our jails open and not let the criminals out on the streets. And I was wondering if you were going to plan to attend that.
I've received numerous notifications of that. Someone was kind enough to bring a book by the office that he has written, and I've read that. Very interesting. And I have some other commitments that day, so I'm still trying to see what I can do about that. I think it's on July 17th.
July 17th at the Rodeo Grounds, yes. I think we're involved with that.
And I've done some Googling on it, and gone to his website and looked at it.
You know, I have too, and I'm reading, and I'm also in the process of reading the pamphlets too, because you don't want to get associated with something that's really far out there, right, Louise?
Right.
But
exactly.
He doesn't sound like that, you know, on my first blush when I look at it. It sounds like he comes out of that Arizona spot where Sheriff Joe's at.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I just love everything I say to the sheriff here. You know, he's like, yep, and he's shaking his head at me.
Yep.
Hey, Louise, you got any other questions?
No, I was just wondering if he had talked to any of the other sheriffs in the surrounding counties and whether they plan on attending or if they even know about it.
I have, and I don't believe that they also, you know, we have some very, very chaotic schedules. And I have talked to several in the North State, and I don't believe that they have it in their schedule either.
All right, I thank you. Maybe we could get to them and encourage them to come. We'll save them a seat.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Bruce, good morning.
Well, yeah, you probably already covered what I was going to ask. Why in the world can't we get on Joe Aprero type of
man, here? If I had about, or the county had, about $100 or $1,000 every time I heard that, we wouldn't have budget problems. Mainly, it's because of the laws in Arizona differ from the laws in California. Newsflash, California laws are a little bit more liberal than Arizona's. And you could bet that some sheriff, out of the 58 sheriffs in California, you could bet that if somebody could put up a tent city and do it legally and not get sued, we'd be doing it.
Is it about time that we change out the legislatures and get this thing, but they're going broke anyhow?
Well, that's why we have a democracy and why people can vote.
Well, that's good. Well, you answered my question there, buddy. Thank you.
You're welcome. The thing with the tent cities, there's a whole bunch of rules and regulations on basically what we can feed, you know, like our jail meals have to be approved by a nutritionist and a dietitian, so many calories, all balanced. A cell has to be so big. So we have to have guidelines or else we get sued. And then, again, taxpayer money goes to some inmate. And Sheriff Joe has been successfully sued, too.
How about cable TV?
They have cable TV, but basically ours is the same as Sheriff Joe's. They only get a very limited number of channels, Weather Channel, a couple others. But, no, they don't have all full.
Disney?
They get Disney, so they can watch cartoons.
You know, the reason, every time you've been on, Sheriff, you know, people have asked this question, and it's a good question, is, you know, to me, a convicted criminal should not live better than a Marine in the field.
Dental care, medical care, we spend over $2 million a year on a medical contract for medical services to our inmates in the jail. And we have a lot of the other things, like we used inmate labor to go out and mow the lawns of the cemeteries, like at the Veterans Cemetery for our brave men and women that sacrificed their lives for our country. They go out and do services there, help make wreaths. They work at our animal shelter cleaning out kennels and doing work there. They mowed lawns throughout the county to help save on money there. So we incorporate, excuse me, and have incorporated many, many of those techniques for decades here.
And but now those have been cut out because of the budget. Is that correct?
Cut out, but we right now are working on a way for a work release program right out of the jail, a report card system, if you will.
Something I'd like to say along those lines before we take a break is that we were out for the 4th of July, and it's just, you know, I don't know who takes care of it, but I just noticed that the memorial for our veterans
at
the convention center, there were weeds, and a wreath had been laid that where all the flowers were dead and it had not been removed, and that was what we saw on the 4th of July.
Yeah.
So.
Don't know who maintains that.
I don't know.
I think that's the city does that.
Anyway, we got to take a break, and
yeah.
We'll be back in just a moment. This is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. Hello. You're listening to Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. The studio is buzzing today. This portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. And I want you to know, besides the outstanding service they provide, they're also offering gourmet coffee in 5-pound bags at great prices and have many espresso machines for sale. So after you buy one of these great little machines, they're going to teach you how to use it for the best results. Tobacco Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, Joe and Shelley, great Americans. So go visit them and support our community.
Okay, let's go to the phones. Ron, question for the sheriff.
Yes, good morning. I have a question about illegal aliens. We know they're here because they have props out there. But anyhow, there's a talk show host in Reno, Nevada, that comes on at 3 o'clock, and he was complaining about the illegal aliens. And to show their displeasure with him, they knew it was going to happen, but they marched on his radio station and had a rally. But anyhow, if something were to happen like that here in Redding, would you arrest them and deport them? And if they did run, would you... You should, as far as I'm concerned, you should bring the canine units in and let them help you round them up. So anyhow, that's my question. I'll take my answer off the air.
Thank you very much, Ryan. And I'll let the sheriff answer that one.
You know, they have to be a legal assembly. We have to comply with the law. We have a great constitution that's been here for about 233 years. So if they're other than being an illegal, yeah, they could be arrested, and they could be arrested for being illegal there. So. Interesting. I would be interested to talk with you later, see how Reno PD or the sheriff's office handled that rally demonstration there. And I think they've had some, just because they're rallying doesn't mean that they're all there illegally. I'm sure there were some legal citizens there participating in that rally in support of the issue at hand there.
Oh, I'm sure there were, but I'm sure there were a lot of illegals there,
yeah.
too. So,
right.
Hey, Sheriff, I want to talk to you about your roads program that you have.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we've cut back on the amount of deputies out there, I mean, you're still prosecuting the road campaign. Is that right?
Absolutely. There's two task forces that we participate in, CINTIF, Shasta Interagency Narcotics Task Force, which is by Anderson Police, Probation, District Attorney, and Sheriff, and the Bureau of Narcotics Enforcement for the state. And you just saw in the paper and on the news that they made a big dope arrest down in the Anderson area, or north of Anderson, actually, not in the city of. And then we participate in, and let me back up, CINTIF does local dope here within Shasta County, local issues, small-time dealers. Then we participate in CalMet, which is a regional 5-county task force of the North State, Shasta, Tehama, Butte, Glenn, Colusa counties. And that is for your major dealers. And we do a domestic highway enforcement. Yesterday, we just took down a car that had about a kilo of cocaine in it. We've taken down cars that are, we call them load cars. Some have been loaded with money. One time we took down a car that had, within the last year, $840,000 cash money, all hidden in compartments to go buy their dope.
Big Christmas at the Sheriff's Department that year?
No big Christmas there. We seize it. A lot of times it gets tied up to get adjudicated. We do get a portion of that, but it takes about a year or so to get that back from the federal government. Kind of once you give them the money, it's hard to get it back.
Hey, let me ask a question here. You know, when you pull, okay, so you stop a car, it's got $800,000 in it, or one with a kilo and a half of cocaine. What's the reason usually for pulling these people over?
Can't give you our trade secrets, my friend. But,
right. But there must be something.
There's usually vehicle code violations associated with, and it's just a regular routine traffic violation. They go up and make contact, and sometimes there are some indicators that the officers spot, or some through some statements, or the dope dog alerts on the car, and we are able to get in there legally, and we find all sorts of stuff, 17 pounds of heroin, multiple pounds of methamphetamine, 200,000 tablets of ecstasy. We've taken off in the last year over $20 million worth of street value of illegal drugs right here in Shasta County and seized about $2 million in cash.
Well, I'm sure you can't tell everybody on the air exactly where they go, but once you get the drugs, then what?
Then they get prosecuted either federally or, depending on the amount of drugs and what's going on with the operation, or they could be prosecuted under state, which is through the district attorney's office.
I'm talking about, what about the drugs?
Oh, they get booked into evidence. They have to be held until the case is adjudicated, and then eventually they get destroyed at a proper hazmat disposal place because you just can't put them down in the drain. Yeah. That's illegal.
Yes, that's interesting. Hazmat. Okay. Carl and Linda Bott here. We're taking a break. Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Hey, it's Carl Linda Bott, and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Jack, good morning.
Good morning to Linda and Carl and Sheriff Pasenko. I had a question about how many reserve deputies the department utilizes.
We have about 10, and then there were some changes in the post laws and stuff, so it limits it. We want to be able to use them better, but we also can't replace full-time people. But reserves do a great job for us. Many of them are some retired folks as well, and some of the people that got laid off, if they don't get a job, we'll be able to use them as reserves to fill in here and there, working with our office as well.
Now, do you also have any reserves that are in the level 1 category or the level 1D category?
Yes.
Do you utilize them at their full potential as per 832 PC?
No, we don't.
You need to explain that. Nope, need to explain this.
Yep. 832 is the laws of arrest, basically the same as a full-time paid cop. We could utilize them just like that.
Mm-hmm.
The unions would have some concern about that if we just turned them loose in a car and drove around where it would be.
Now, are the reserves paid at all?
No.
Okay.
I would share this with you in L.A. County, of course, is the biggest sheriff's department in the entire country.
Right.
We had some 730-plus reserves when I retired from it. I spent 32 years in the reserves there.
Wow. Thank you.
And retired as a reserve captain. But I would say that we did utilize the 1Ds or even the 1s to their full potential.
Hey, maybe I'll recruit you. Maybe come in and set up an appointment and let's talk and have some coffee.
Yeah, we had several reserves, including myself, that worked one-man cars out there.
I'd love to talk to you, especially with your years of experience as a reserve and serving in an administrative position there.
Actually, Sheriff Baca did start, I would say, in the last 3 years to actually pay reserve, one designated level reserve, a smaller amount of money to offset some of his costs, and it actually has helped their department.
I imagine. Of course, we got to have money to pay him.
Yeah, you got to have money to start with. Hey, Jack, thanks so much. We've run out of time here.
Get in touch with me, Jack.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Give the sheriff a call there,
okay.
Jack.
Bye-bye.
Right. Karen, good morning.
Good morning. In the past, I remember when marijuana gardens were raided, the people were referred to, when it applied, illegal aliens. Now I hear on this news station, when the same thing happens, they're referred to as Mexican nationals, like it's some big patriotic, you know, they're really good guys. And I'm wanting to know, why have you gone from saying illegal aliens to Mexican nationals?
Well, I can't speak for the radio station, but illegal aliens could be.
They get it from somewhere else.
Illegal aliens could be any country. Predominantly, we deal with Mexican nationals, which are illegal aliens from Mexico. So if they were illegal from another country, we would say whatever country they're from.
And, Karen, I guarantee you, you're not going to hear us say Mexican nationals.
Well, I just noticed that both Kelly and Steve, I've heard them use that term, and I thought, you know, it sounds like some chicken franchise or something like that. When if you hear illegal, you apply it psychologically, your understanding, someone from another country is illegally harming our own country.
Yeah. Yep, you're right.
Thank you.
You bet, Karen. Well, you know, some of the stuff is they, you know, it comes off the lines. And, you know, off what Karen just is, when Frosty and Steve do the news, it comes right off of the teletypes here, the computers, and they read what's on there.
Right. Press releases really they get.
Yeah, absolutely. Press releases. But yeah, nobody waffles around here on illegals. At least not that anybody
I
know.
You don't seem like the waffling type to me.
Well, you know, I like waffles.
I live with him, honey. No, he's not the waffling type.
Yeah.
You know, Sheriff, we appreciate you being here. And again, we're not just doing well, are we?
We are not, as a state, as a country, and as a county. However, like for me, yeah, we had a big budget cut. But I can really assure the people of the county that we are the men and women of the sheriff's office. They're here to do a job, here to serve. We're going to do the best possible job we can with the resources and funding that's made available to us. That's my job.
It's always good to end on a positive note.
It is.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah. Well, thank
Sheriff
you, folks.
Osenko.
You do a great show.
Well, we'd like you to be here on. I know how busy you are, and we'd like you to be here on a semi-regular basis just to keep people up on what's going on.
Maybe we'll have it on Thursdays. Thursdays with Tom.
Thursdays with Tom.
Like that.
Yeah, coffee with Tom. All right. Hey, tomorrow is Friday already, and it's open line again. So we're going to be catching up on some things. We'd like to be talking about the proposed health care plan and how it's not going to raise your taxes. Oh, not so fast. Or how about the cap and trade, or like I like to call it, the tax and destroy plan for energy that you can't eat. From one of our callers, and I'm trying to find this, said it outlaws wood stoves. Okay, North State, that right there, ought to, kind of torque your jaws. All right, this is Calling the Bot, Free Fire Radio. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?